Well, first off, I'd like to thank the college football playoff, Bill Hancock and his staff for putting on an outstanding venue for, you know, our team here in the Bay Area. We're obviously pleased and happy with what our team has been able to accomplish, you know, this season, to have this opportunity to play against a outstanding Clemson team. I'd like to congratulate Dabo, his team and staff for, you know, the outstanding season that they've had. When you play in a game like this, you expect to play against a great team, and Clemson's all of that. And our players are certainly looking forward to the challenge of playing against a really, really good team. So I'm really proud of, you know, our team, and actually love, you know, what our team has been able to overcome and do this year. They worked hard and really had a tough road to hoe to get here. And we certainly appreciate all their effort, togetherness, and things that they've done to be able to have this opportunity.
Coach Sweeney, your opening remarks.
Yeah, thanks for all of you for being here. And it's been a wonderful couple days. I really appreciate Bill Hancock and all the CFP folks for just the tremendous amount of organization that has to go into pulling this whole thing off. And so to just make it as routine as possible for the two teams. And so it's been a great trip so far. I appreciate Santa Clara and San Jose, all the folks here and that have worked all year to make this a great event. You know, really excited about the opportunity to compete, you know, against the best team in the country on the highest stage. This is what we all set out to do, 130 teams, and you have two teams that have the opportunity to compete on this stage, and we're thankful and blessed to have this moment. And, you know, Alabama has been an unbelievable champion, and, you know, Coach Saban and the consistency that they've had is remarkable. So not surprised at all to see them sitting back here, but really proud of our team. You know, and how we performed all year long, incredible focus. This team is blessed with great leadership and just a great group of young people that, you know, have competed every single week to get to this point. So I have no doubt it'll be a heck of a ball game tomorrow night, two great teams that both want to win. And so, you know, this is what we're all here for. But, you know, appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning.
We'll now open it up for questions. Again, we have microphone holders. Let us get you the mic. Give us your name and affiliation. We're going to start right here. Middle left, Dennis.
This is for Dabo. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Dabo, was there a moment in your mind, right here, was there a moment in your mind where you just, before you started playing Alabama in this current run, whether it was looking at film or just seeing how you guys were developing, where you said, yeah, we can play with these guys. We're on a level with them.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, when I got the job in 2009, I felt like that at Clemson we could build a program that could compete at the highest level. We were a long way away from that, that's for sure, but I felt like we had a few pieces in place, and we just needed to build an infrastructure. We needed to modernize in our program in every sense of the word, from staff to our recruiting, to our facilities, the way the administration thought, I mean, you name it. But because we were competitive, but you know, so I felt like at the very beginning that we could be a team. But for me, I felt like we needed to play a tough schedule. And that was one of my first meetings with Terry Don Phillips, was, hey, we play a tough schedule in our league, but we need if we're going to build a great program, the only way I can prepare the team is and listen, you can't be afraid to fail. All right, there's going to be some failure, but that's a part of your growth. That's a part of development. That's the only way that I'm going to be able to teach these guys what it takes. And so from day one, we've played, you know, Georgia, played Auburn four times. We've played, you know, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, LSU. We've played a lot of people in and outside of our conference that allowed us to compete and develop the program to where we could, you know, match up and have the type of postseason success that we've had over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years.
We're going to stay over here to our left. Heather.
Dabo, Heather Dinich with ESPN. What specifically has Chase improved on since the Syracuse game, and what is your confidence level in him should he be needed on such a big stage?
Just confidence. That's the biggest thing. You know, he has the knowledge, and, you know, he's worked. He's a redshirt freshman, so he's had a little more time in our system, and we knew he had the knowledge. He just didn't have really the opportunity to play yet. He's a very talented competitor. So the biggest thing that he's improved from that moment is just his confidence and his complete belief in himself and the team's belief in him. So we don't have any doubt that he can go in and perform at a high level for us. We've got all the confidence in the world in him.
We're going to move over here to our right in the middle.
The Bill Bender, Sporting News, has questions for both coaches. You both have talked at length about internal scoreboard and developing from within, but what's allowed your players to buy in and perform on these big stages so often, so consistently?
Well, I think what we try to get our players to do is play to a standard, be the best version of themselves. You know, I oftentimes, you know, get on our players even when we win, and people don't totally understand that because regardless of what the scoreboard says, how did you really perform? Did you perform, you know, to your best of your ability? Did you create the best value for yourself and for the team by the way you were able to execute the discipline that you played with, how you were able to focus on the next play, not get frustrated with something that, you know, was difficult for you? It's got to be a great competitor. You got to overcome adversity. So all these things create an internal standard that, you know, we're trying to get players to play to that not necessarily is dictated by the score, who you're playing against, but it's about your level of performance and the standard that you play to. You know, oftentimes I use the example of, you know, when I was in an NFL coach, they would make a highlight tape for me of a player when we were looking at him for the draft. And all I was looking at was the plays that he played. I didn't know really what the score was in the game, who they were playing against necessarily, what the circumstances were. I was just evaluating how that guy played on those plays that he was in the game. So these kinds of things are what we want to try to get players to do to be the best version of themselves.
Well, I think that a couple of things. One is we're the same. I mean, there's a winning performance at every position. You know, we're not asking them to be perfect, but there is a winning performance at each position. So, you know, if you're a wideout, that winning grade for us is 85%. If you're a linebacker, it's 80%. If, you know, if you're a D lineman, it's 75%. We have a grade. So we make a big deal out of that. You know, it's not who we play, it's how we play. And that's what we talk about. And then the other thing is, you know, so accountability to that winning performance, number one. And then the other thing is we make every game the biggest game of the year. And that, you know, people don't like to hear that during the week. But if you don't have that mindset, then that creeps in. That, you know, fans have that mindset. They look at the schedule and they go, oh, well, you're playing, you know, East Oboga State this week. And, you know, oh, well, now we don't have to practice hard. Oh, we're playing Alabama this week. Okay, let's really meet. Let's really practice hard. And if that's your culture, then you're gonna be like this all the time. But when you make every game the biggest game of the year, and in college football, it is the biggest game of the year. You know, everybody wants to expand these playoffs. We've had a playoff since September. Every game has been a playoff game to get to this point. Every game. If we had lost to whoever, we're probably not here. If we lost to Pitt in the ACC Championship, we're not here. If we lost to South Carolina, we're not here. Every game is a playoff game. And so for our team, we truly create that focus and that standard of performance and guys taking pride. It doesn't matter who we play. How did you play? And we have a grade and accountability. And so now all of a sudden, you don't really get caught up in the logo of the team that you're playing. You just try to play the very best that you can. And so when you get in these moments, whether it's a huge game late in the season, both teams are undefeated, you know, a lot on the line, whatever, it's just the next big moment because every week has been a huge moment. And so that's a mindset that you have to create, and you got to get the young people to buy into and the coaches to buy into, and that tone is set from the head coach. And I think that's one of the things that Alabama has certainly done. I mean, that, you know, because you're going to get everybody's best every week. So if you don't show up, you know, with that mindset, you're inconsistent. And so I think however we do it, that's what's created the consistency in our programs, for sure.
Move back over here to the middle left.
Cecil Hurt from Tuscaloosa News. For Dabo, I heard as a young assistant recruiting Jefferson and Shelby counties, you once went into the recruiting meeting and they asked for who from your area you wanted to sign, and you had 25 guys you wanted to sign the entire class. And I'm curious if you still had that same enthusiasm for recruiting and how that has helped you as a head coach.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. You're really right on that, because, you know, recruiting has changed a lot. And back in those days, you know, nobody decided what they were going to do till January. And, you know, you used to get in these recruiting meetings and coaches lie. Oh, my Lord. And, you know, they're going to get this guy. And then, you know, and then so, you know, I figured out as a young coach, I'd call, you know, 50 guys a week, 60 guys a week, because what I learned is, you know, at the end of the day, some guys weren't working like they needed to or whatever, or these guys that we're sitting in there saying these meetings we're going to get, well, then we don't get. Well, I'd sit here and I'd have all these guys that I'd been working all year long and developing relationships with, and so now all of a sudden some of them guys we didn't want, we were begging to get, and I was always thankful that I put that work in so that we would have some guys. And so recruiting was just very different back then, very different. You had to recruit a bigger pool of people, because you had no idea a lot of times until signing day what guys were going to do. And because most of these decisions were January, you were just recruiting seniors. We didn't even think about evaluating a junior until May, going into their senior year. So it's just very, very different times now. And we don't recruit as big a numbers. But, yeah, I was detailed in my area. I tried to know the coaches. I tried to know all my players and signed a lot of good players there when I was there, for sure.
We're going to go back onto the riser. Middle.
Matt Dowell out of Watch Fox of Columbia, South Carolina. Dabo, earlier this week, Travis Etienne said he wanted to dedicate Monday's game to C.J. Fuller. How much is C.J. on the team's mind this weekend?
Well, I think C.J.'s been on our team's mind, you know, since he passed. It's just a tragic situation, really tragic. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers continue to be with his parents. And, in fact, his birthday was Thanksgiving Day this year. And, you know, not long after the funeral, but just a really difficult thing, you know, for all of us. Anytime you deal with death, and certainly as we get older, it's something that we are much more aware of and have experienced a lot in our families and friends and so forth. But for young people, That's a tough thing to process. And but he was a great young man, and I don't have any doubt that these guys certainly remember him and will honor him with how they play.
We're going to go back over here to the middle right in the back.
Ben Jones from the Tuscaloosa News. How significant would it be for you to win your sixth championship at Alabama, tying Coach Bryant, and your seventh championship overall?
Well, you know, I don't really look at it that way. You know, I have a tremendous respect for what this team has been able to accomplish, the opportunity that they created for themselves. And, you know, as a coach, you want to do everything you can to help your players have the best opportunity to be successful for what they want to accomplish. And, you know, we've been successful in these games and we've been unsuccessful in these games. And at times, as a coach, you want to make sure that you're doing everything possible to help this particular team and this group of young men who have worked so hard all year long to be able to have the best chance to be successful against a great team that they have to play. So that doesn't really enter into it in my mind. I don't ever even think about that at all. I do think a lot about trying to make and help this team to be the best possible and to put them in the best possible position to have a chance to be successful.
We're going to go back over here on the left, our left middle. Marty?
Hi, guys. Marty Smith, ESPN. I've heard both of you say that in several ways you're mirror images of one another. Your teams are mirror images of one another, programs. But the way that you both got to that place are very different from a personality perspective. So I wonder, what attributes maybe have you taken from one another? This is for both of you. What attributes, Coach Saban, have you taken from Dabo or Dabo from Coach Saban that maybe you've incorporated into your program that intrigued you that they do?
Coach Saban?
Well, I have a tremendous amount of respect for what and how they do things, you know, at Clemson. They do a great job of recruiting. They do a great job of developing their players. And likewise, that's what we try to do in our program in terms of we want to help guys be more successful in life because they were involved in the program, whether it's through personal development, making sure they graduate, develop careers off the field, help them in career development, be the best version of themselves, see if they can, you know, have a career as a football player. And I guess there's probably more than one way to do that, but we try to do it with a great staff of people who are interested in creating a culture of accountability for players in terms of their personal behavior, how they approach academics, how they approach what they try to do in football. And that has helped us. And we're constantly trying to evaluate other successful programs, including Clemson's, to see if they're doing something that, you know, might help us improve what we do to help our players be more successful.
Coach Sweeney?
Yeah, well, I think for me, it's a lot. You know, you're talking about a program that I have a deep love and respect for, always have, always will. And, you know, a coach that's, I mean, he's won 6 national championships. And the level of consistency is a model and an aspiration for every program. And so for me, I think a couple things. One, how he has just been himself, you know, regardless of what people think or say or whatever, he's been himself. And he's stuck to the things that he believes in. And that's a lesson for me, you know, to be myself and to be convicted in my beliefs and how I think that I should run the program. But he's very detailed. You know, we're very detailed in how we do things. And I think from a program standpoint, when he got to Alabama, how he modernized the program, infrastructure-wise, to create an environment, like he said, that's conducive to helping the young players have a great experience and to develop as a person, you know, and a player. And that's, you know, there's resources involved with that, you know, and I think that that's something that Coach Saban changed in college football, quite frankly. And as when I was an assistant, when he became the head coach and started kind of putting that in place, it was something that I paid attention to. And because the old model where you had the head coach and 9 assistants and a couple of GAs and you were everything, you know, you were the coach, you were the counselor, you were the wore every hat. In the meantime, recruiting's still going on, problems happen. These kids are kids and they have family issues. And so creating an infrastructure to support the coaches in the ultimate mission of helping these guys have that great experience, but helping them get the tools they need to go dominate in life and at the same time develop as a player. And I think Coach Saban kind of led the way in that. So, you know, I think as a coach, like, we're always studying and trying to learn from every program, that Alabama has certainly been the standard for, you know, a decade or so since he's been there. And so I've learned lots of things. You know, sometimes it could just be, you know, maybe how he handles a situation. You know, I've called on him a time or two to ask him his opinion on some things, and we've swapped some ideas. So, you know, I'm thankful that you know, I've been able to learn. You know, and again, I learn from everyone, but I think you know, Alabama has been incredibly consistent. And why is that? Well, they've recruited great players. They've developed those players. They've had a standard in place. And so There's similar, a lot of similarities, yet personality-wise, maybe we're different in how we go about certain things. But at the end of the day, I think it's just being true to who you are.
I'm going to go back over here to the middle, off to the left.
Chris Brees, CBS 42 in Birmingham. Dabo, I know yesterday you had touched upon how this felt different for you from the previous championships, and just in terms of enjoying the road it took to get there. Do you think the players feel the same way?
I hope so, because I've really tried to be intentional in that all year, not just now, but literally all year. And that was kind of a focus for me this year. You know, I knew we were going to have a good team. I knew we would have some challenges. But this group of seniors is unlike any group I've ever been around. I mean, I've had some amazing, unbelievable individual leaders that I've been around, but nothing collectively like this group. I mean, 26 guys get votes for captains. This is a special team, and their focus and how they handle themselves in the off season, in the spring, this summer, the day-to-day interaction. You know, I wanted to enjoy all of it. And as I said the other day, you know, in 15, it was a blur. I don't even really remember it. It was a blur because it was very new. The preparation, our guys were in school. We'd finished the bowl game. Now we got classes. We're trying to get ready. You know, it was a lot of logistical things that I kind of was figuring out as I went. And then, you know, we had a great game. We didn't win, but we learned a lot. And then in 16, we knew we had a really good team. And that team, it was a little bit more of a grind. It was almost like that team wanted to hit fast forward. Like, can we just get here, you know? And it doesn't work that way. And I didn't think we played great early in the season, ended up losing a game. But obviously we went on to win it all. But this year, you know, this has been a very joyful season. It's the best way I can say it. I really have enjoyed the day-to-day mundane activities of just being around this team. And a lot of times it's felt like this team kind of wanted to hit pause. And I do think that they have enjoyed the journey. I think this senior group has savored every moment along the way. You know, they haven't looked ahead. We've been incredibly consistent. So I don't have any doubt that they will treasure their time this season when they finish, you know, regardless of what happens tomorrow night. You know, it's just two great teams. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. And both teams are going to play their hearts out. But even if you win the game, you know, been there, done that, it's a great moment, but it's still always about the journey to that moment and the relationships, the grind there. And I think these guys have truly enjoyed every second of the ride this year, and our coaches.
We're going to go over here to our right in the middle aisle. Stuart.
Stuart Mandel from The Athletic for Nick. Earlier, when you started this run, obviously you had a lot of quarterbacks who were veterans by the time they started. Now you've had Jalen as a true freshman. Tua came in last year as a true freshman. Now you're facing Trevor Lawrence as a true freshman. What has changed about that position, do you think, that allows these guys to perform at such a high level so quickly?
Well, there's more and more guys, I think, that come into college programs that we see across the country that are more ready to play. And I think that's a reflection of offense in this day and age has changed a little bit. And these guys that are developing earlier, you know, in that style of play, that's just, you know, more of a spread type offense than rather 20 years ago where you played a little different type. And it's not all about drop back passing. But there is elements of that. But I see a lot of young players that do this in high school now. There's a lot of good development of quarterbacks in a lot of different ways in terms of quarterback coaches. And I just think that the style of play that guys grow up in is a little closer to what you see in college football now, which enables a talented player to make the transition, you know, a little easier. So I would say that's the number one difference. But I see that at all positions. You know, I see more and more guys that are more ready to play earlier in their career. And I think it's an expectation as well that guys are more prepared to do that. There was a time when I coached when freshmen weren't even eligible. So the mindset was never that you would play as a freshman. But now as more and more players do that, I think that enhances their development to help them try to do the things they need to do to be ready to play earlier. But I do think that one of the things that we constantly have to try to instill in our players is they still need to focus on development, not just on expectation. And the guys that are able to do that, improve more quickly and become more ready to play. And I think, you know, Trevor Lawrence in particular has done a phenomenal job for his team this year and his ability to execute, and certainly doesn't play like a freshman or look like a freshman. And if anybody ever watched him, they wouldn't think he was a freshman.
We're going to go in here in the middle, right?
Tom Fitzgerald, San Francisco Chronicle. A question for Dabo regarding the three players that you were missing for failing drug tests. You were able to beat Notre Dame pretty well without them. Now you're playing Alabama. What? How much do you think you're going to miss them in this particular game, especially Dexter Lawrence?
Well, Dexter's a starter. The other two, didn't play much. So, that didn't really – I hated it for them as they missed out on the opportunity to be a part of it. But certainly from a team competitive standpoint, Dexter was the guy that was starting, playing a lot of ball for us. So, we miss him. He's a great player, tremendous, one of the best in the country at doing what he does. And so I'm thankful that we've got Albert Huggins and some other guys, Niles and Jordan, that have stepped up. And, they're ready to go perform to the very best of their ability. But, we certainly miss Dexter.
We're going to take our next question from over here in the front row on my right.
Scott Rabelais from the Baton Rouge and New Orleans Advocate. Sorry, Dabo, I'm in the restricted view seats over here.
I got you.
Obviously, meeting here again is great for your two programs. This is for both coaches. But is it good for college football? Is this kind of rivalry at the top good for the game, even though there's a lack of other teams getting a chance to get to this game?
Coach Saban?
Well, I don't really get too concerned about a lot of other programs. And, I think there's a lot of great things about college football that creates a lot of great experiences for a lot of young men. And I think the playoff has probably minimized, the number of teams that really get the same kind of positive self-gratification from going to bowl games and other venues that have been really unique to allowing players to get a lot of positives from having a good season. Now there's a lot of focus on just on the playoffs, and that becomes the target that every program and every team is sort of aiming for, and it's certainly the target that we have and a goal that we have as a program, and we're going to continue to have. And I can't really speak for other teams or what the impact of college football really is, but it's my job and my responsibility to do the best job that we can for our team, our players, our program in terms of what it takes for us to be successful. And I guess that's what we'll, continue to focus on.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. I mean, I'm not going to apologize for having a great team and a great program and a bunch of committed guys, and Coach Saban's not either. I think the objective is to get the two best teams. That's kind of the way it is. And if that's not best for college football, then why did we even do it? Why don't we just go back to the way it was and have bowl games and you put this team against this team, and it's not necessarily the two best teams playing. And then at the end, like it used to do, you just vote on who you think's the best team. That's what we used to have. And so then everybody got mad and said, well, dang, we want to put the best team against the best team. And so I think the first time that happened was my senior year, us in Miami, I believe, when they said, all right, we're going to start this new thing and put the 1 and 2 together and do away with all these bowl affiliations. And tired of all these people just saying, all right, we elect you national champion. We're not going to vote on it anymore. We're going to earn it and settle it on the field and put the two best teams together. And so that's what I think the objective was. And, you know, so that's what's happened. I think the two best teams, I think it works. You know, we went to a playoff, and the two best teams are here. And the two best teams have been here every year. Last year, the two best teams were there. And so I think that's what college football wanted. And also being able to have some great matchups in bowl games and things like that. I mean, I think it's great that there's, you know, whatever, 40 teams out there that can end their season with a win and have momentum going into the offseason and so forth. So if this isn't good for college football, the two best teams, then we just kind of go back to the way it used to be and create all the good matchups however you want them, and then you just kind of elect a captain, and you got one national champion in this poll and one national champion in this poll and one national champion in this poll. So
we're going to take our last question from over to the left in the middle, third row.
Farhan Lalju from TSN. This is for Coach Swinney. And you've recruited elite quarterbacks before, including five-star guys. When did you know you had something different, something special in Trevor Lawrence?
Well, I mean, it was pretty obvious. You know, I really started studying him his sophomore year in high school. It was pretty obvious that he was an elite talent, skill set wise. But you know, I like to get to know these guys a little bit, and you know, what's their mental makeup and so forth. And I think you can get somewhat of a feel for that. But I don't think you really ever know till you start coaching a guy, and you transition, and you know, so that first spring when I mean, day one installation, you know, you kind of have an installation plan of how you're going to put in your systems offensively, defensively, and so forth. And I mean, he got day one like that. I mean, it just was like fish to a water. I mean, it's just natural. And his uniqueness from a mindset standpoint, his poise, his demeanor, his preparedness, and just his, it was amazing to me early. So, you know, because it's easy to see him go out there and throw the ball, and it's, you're not going to ever see anybody throw the ball that looks better throwing the ball. I mean, it's a beautiful thing of art to watch this kid spin it. And he's 6'6". I mean, he's got all these physical measurables and attributes, but it's the stuff that's harder to measure. And soon that first spring, just meetings, how he transitioned, speed of the game, how he handled mistakes, how he handled the pressure from his teammates, how he handled competition. I mean, we had a bunch of quarterbacks there last spring, and I knew pretty early that this kid is unique.